Let's get to our guest, Adrian Zerker, CIO and Head of Global Asset Allocation at UBS Global Wealth Management. Adrian, nervous times here, and we see losses across the boards. How cautious should we get here in our investing?
Good morning. Definitely for now, we want to be quite cautiously positioned for markets. We have sort of this double whammy of growth slowdown and still a very aggressive Fed as inflation remains high. This week, we'll get a bit more information about how inflation has developed in the month of September, but most likely it stayed elevated, and the Fed will have to continue to sound very hawkish and to hike aggressively. So we expect another 75 basis points of hike at the beginning of November, and that will weigh on the market.
Adrian, how many more big hikes are coming from the Fed after November?
Well, I think we're a bit more sanguine about that. So we do expect that 75 basis points in November, 50 basis points in December. There's the potential for another 25 basis points at the beginning of February. There's no meeting in January. And then we should be probably done. The market's pricing in slightly higher terminal rates. So it could be a surprise, as we would see inflation starting to roll over more visibly in the fourth quarter, particularly in December. So that's probably the upside for the markets. But until then, until we have really clear evidence, the Fed will sound hawkish and will be biased to be more on the aggressive side as they have fallen behind the curve.
So that staying power is very much a question. I like the way Tom Orlick of Bloomberg Economics put it. He said, talking like Volcker is easy. We're hiking until the job is done. Walking like Volcker, actually hiking rates when investors are losing a lot of money and workers are losing jobs, is hard. Now, later on, he says that basically he thinks all central banks have talked the talk, but will they walk the walk? That seems to suggest that, at least in his view, and Bloomberg Economics, is that the main risk is that policymakers don't go far enough, not that they're going too far. What do you think?
I probably would see the risk exactly on the opposite. I do think that the Fed has credibility. They did a policy mistake. They were waiting too long. They fell way behind basically the way they should be with the interest rates, and now they're hiking aggressively, not seeing that actually, despite we have very resilient labor market, but there's a lot of slack building up when you look at some of the leading indicators from the macro side. We also look at the financing, we look at housing activity, and all that basically suggests that the economy will slow down actually much, much quicker. And so if the Fed doesn't start to pivot in the next 3 to 4 months, they will send basically the economy over the cliff and we will see a deep recession. Mm. So that's for us the biggest concern.
I mentioned we're very much looking forward to China reopening after the Golden Week holiday and looking ahead to the Party Congress as well. You're continuing to avoid Chinese property bonds and equities. Are you expecting that there could be any potential upside in these areas once we get through the Party Congress?
Well, the Party Congress is, of course, important. I think the issue we see is that usually the reshuffling of the government will take up to March next year when we have the Policy Congress again. And then we will get more direction on where the economy actually should go. We get growth numbers and expectations. There will be definitely over the next couple of months more positive news, but we actually think the key issue is zero COVID policy. And the question is, will we see a shortcut out of that or a windy road? And it's probably more a windy road until sort of March next year. Hopefully by then we will start to see an easing of these policies. But it will take some time. And I think that's really the key issue currently that China is facing. And that's shown in very weak growth numbers, despite we see a rebound. It's in a weak property market, and it's very difficult to get out of that because the government really boxed themselves into a corner.
What would some measures be that could work on addressing the crisis in the property market?
Well, definitely greater investment into infrastructure itself. And then really looking into how to support basically probably the lenders. And at this point, we also have seen that basically that some easing of some policies for the property developers, which have come through. But at the end, it's really a broad-based stimulus package, which we haven't really seen. And there's of course policy coming through, it's trickling through, but they're actually in the historical context rather light. And not very decisive at this point. And that's probably what we have to see, which is difficult, of course, with the policies that overall, and we are heading basically at this juncture of basically equalizing more people and trying to lift basically the lower part and basically narrowing basically this wealth gap in China. And I think these two policies are clashing currently together.
When we look at the oil market, we're seeing around $92 for crude, and whether or not the aggressive Fed hikes are going to kind of impede what we've seen from OPEC Plus. How much does a return to $100 a barrel kind of spook investors here?
Well, commodities are our most preferred asset class, and within commodities, oil is our favorite sub-asset class. So we actually do think we can go even above $100 over the next couple of months. As demand is slowing down through the measurements we see globally, also that central banks are increasing their interest rates and growth is slowing down, but the supply side is so constrained that we actually do think that oil will reach back over $100, and we do think among all the fog we see actually in the market on the commodity side, we have most visibility, and so therefore it's our most preferred asset class at this point.
Do you think that that will create a rising geopolitical tensions, particularly between Saudi Arabia and some of the other oil producers in the U.S.?
Absolutely. I do think we are already drifting into a more multipolar world, and it's definitely one of the key thinking that we have when we talk about strategic asset allocation and how we try to build robust portfolios. We see the drift between the U.S., China. We have Russia now in the mix, and of course, the Saudi Arabia and the Middle East. All that is adding to complexity. But it also shows that that Saudi Arabia was brave enough, basically, to go out and does a very big cut, despite the U.S. was actually lobbying for a lower cut. And so this will definitely brew over the next couple of months, and we definitely hear more out of the U.S. also from the policy makers, and they will try to use their means that they can to address that.
All right, Adrian, always a pleasure. Thank you for joining us. Adrian Zerka is CIO and Head of Global Asset Allocation at UBS Global Wealth Management. On the line from Hong Kong for us here on Daybreak Asia.